This is iRadio's group chat. If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.
Brian, first of all, we have seen a real increase in people under the age of 30 seeking Botox and other cosmetic injectables. What do you think is driving that rise, especially amongst younger adults?
It's definitely a pattern that we're seeing. Like, we've been doing aesthetic treatments for years, and I perform them in my practice and I really enjoy them. And most of the time when we're doing aesthetic treatments, we're either how would you say, addressing some abnormality or imbalance or maybe some restorative care, because as we age, certain things change in our face where we produce less collagen and less elastin, so we get more wrinkles, and actually the fat pads in our face change, and that changes the shape of our face, which makes us look older. So when it comes to aesthetic treatments, we're generally treating these issues that develop with age. And what we're seeing is more marketing towards younger patients, and it can be a little bit questionable as to whether or not some of these treatments are appropriate or not in younger patients.
Is there an age where it is appropriate, or is it a thing that it's up to yourself in the first place, but there's just more about it, more marketing about it now?
Well, I think you have to be very careful, because we do have, obviously, we all know the explosion of social media and slightly, filter. What we're seeing is kind of human beings that are a little bit filtered and changed when we see them and we're scrolling, as opposed to the humans we're used to seeing in real life. And I think what can be a bit of a risk is that some, like, young, beautiful people perceive that they have an issue with their face and they don't. And if they go through to a well-trained medical professional, we'll probably educate them on maybe just some reassurance that they don't have a problem and they don't need treatment, and maybe the signs that would be appropriate to treat in the future. And the problem is, there are a lot of people in the aesthetics industry who aren't appropriately trained, and it's not well regulated, and they're very, very happy to reinforce somebody's worries and start treating somebody who may not necessarily require treatment. And then you run into the problems of over-treatment. And unfortunately, a lot of these people don't actually have the medical training required to actually fix any of the complications that can occur with these aesthetic treatments.
What are the kind of complications that you've seen or that could happen when these procedures are done by people who just aren't trained medical professionals?
When we look at the most common aesthetic treatments, we're looking at anti-wrinkle injections, which is commonly Botox is one brand, and then we're looking at dermal fillers, which restore volume in the face. When it comes to dermal fillers, they're arguably more dangerous, because when you put in a material into the face, that can actually block a blood vessel, and it can cause ischemia or loss of blood flow to one area of the face, which can end up in scarring or blindness. And then with anti-wrinkle injections, really what we're seeing is you can have an allergic reaction. It's very rare, but you do have to be ready to treat that should it happen. But really what we're seeing is abnormalities, because how anti-wrinkle injections work is they paralyze the facial muscles. And if you don't know how to do that, you can cause somebody to have a droopy eyelid or facial asymmetry, or you can have over-treatment where someone really can't move their face at all. And when they're going really for a treatment to kind of boost their confidence and look a bit fresher, and then come out of that treatment unhappy with the result, is just, it's not a nice thing to happen to somebody.
What are the red flags you should be looking out for if people are choosing to get the likes of Botox or these injectable fillers into their face? How do you avoid going to somebody who might make a botched job of your face, to put it bluntly?
Being honest, I often think of doing aesthetic treatments a bit like getting a tattoo. If the price seems too good to be true, it probably is. And you do have to be cautious. If you do see somebody offering a deal that seems too cheap, they're cutting costs somewhere, and they're either using very cheap products, or they haven't invested in their training, or they haven't invested in the infrastructure to have the equipment around to manage the complications. So if it does seem too cheap to be true, just be very cautious. Also as well, if somebody's not treating you in a professional medical area, the last complication I saw of a patient, unfortunately, she had a blocked blood vessel in her lip. And that was somebody who'd traveled from overseas and performed that treatment in the patient's own kitchen, and then went home the following day and wasn't available to deal with the complication at all. And like that's it's hard for somebody because they may not realize that that's not normal, because if that's the first person who ever did their treatment, they have nothing to compare it to, as it compared to when you come to a center like mine or another medical clinic. You're coming into a medical center with medical and nursing staff and appropriate equipment and appropriate even just sanitary equipment to make sure that infections don't happen. And it's like I wouldn't do like I've been doing this for years and have years of training. And I wouldn't do that treatment in someone's kitchen because it's not safe to do. So if you're somebody without that treatment and doing it in an unsafe environment, your risk of complications just go through the roof, unfortunately.
Should there be tighter regulation on who can administer treatments like this then? So in your view, I mean, what changes do you think need to be done?
I think we need to make sure that people have like you wouldn't let someone drive a car without a license or some sort of training. And again, people can't write prescriptions for medication unless they understand how those medications work and how to deal with complications. And when it comes to these aesthetic treatments, when you're doing something that has a real risk of harm for someone if it's done incorrectly, you just have to make sure that there's some sort of regulation there, that the people providing the service are appropriately trained and can deal with the complications.
Have you ever been in a position where somebody has come to you looking to get something done to their face when they are very young, and it's probably as a result of peer pressure or things they've seen on social media about themselves, where you've actually had to turn them away and say, there is no need for you to do anything with your face? And are there other things that can be done if people are insecure, like more things that aren't injectables, creams and things like that? Because I don't know, do you know what I mean? Is that a myth? Is that a myth, or is it actually true?
Well, it depends. Like the great thing about being 20 is generally you have the skin of a 20-year-old. So if you're not smoking and you're using SPF and you've a gentle facial cleanser that's appropriate for your skin type and a good moisturizer, you're going to have pretty good skin. And if you don't, there's a chance that you have an underlying medical condition like acne, and then that needs to be treated, and you can come and see a medical professional about that, because if it's a medical condition, you're probably going to need some medical care. And a lot of the time people will have spent a fortune on over-the-counter treatments and different types of creams before they come and see me, and we can resolve it quite quickly for them, thankfully. When it comes to turning people away, I do think it's really important to listen to people's concerns, because often when someone looks in the mirror, what they see is often not what's there. And what I mean by that, it's a bit like when you go into your house and you kind of notice all the things you don't like, and you visit your friend's house and you notice all the things that you do like. When we look at our own face, we don't really look at our own face like we look at anybody else's face. What happens is we tend to put our attention on to the things that we don't like. So if we think our nose is a little bit big when we're looking in the mirror, it's almost like that the nose looks bigger. And I always use the example, if you're out in Salt Hill and you see a beautiful sunset and you're like, God, the sun looks massive, I'm going to take a picture of it. And then you take a picture of it and you look at your phone and you're like, oh, that's not really what I see in the sky. Because what you're getting then is the difference between an objective and a subjective perspective. So when people look in the mirror, it's very subjective. And what they see can be sometimes out of proportion. So a lot of the times when I'm with those people, I'm trying to really listen to what their skin concern is. And I'm trying to really understand, is this something that's maybe a little bit subjectively out of proportion? And we just need to do some re-education. And maybe if there is some skin changes that need to be better managed, we can. And then sometimes people will have genuine asymmetries in their face. I often find patients, younger people, one side of their lip may not have developed as much as the other, and they have a genuine asymmetry, and that's lovely to fill. And you just have, no matter what age somebody is, you have to really understand their concerns before you can address them.
I imagine it's a process that involves a lot of advice beforehand from yourselves as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. And a real understanding as well of what's realistically attainable with these treatments. Because if you asked about red flags everywhere earlier, and if you have somebody who's kind of promising you the world without any restriction, again, that's probably the biggest red flag. People have to kind of Trained professionals will always kind of realistically set your expectations, because what we're always looking for is a really good improvement and trying to get people to look like the best versions of themselves, not trying to look like a copy of somebody else.
Well, Brian, I really appreciate you coming on iRadio's group chat and kind of breaking down the barrier around all of this, making it a little bit more understandable for people and reducing the stigma as well. So thanks so much. And I am sure we will chat to you again about something along this line on iRadio's group chat again.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
This is iRadio's group chat. If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.